coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is Monday, May 23rd, 2022. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in this platform. Appreciate this. Have a lot of information to get into, as usual. You're going to kind of take a different twist and tact here, tack on this. Obviously, the big news, and the everyone's clamoring about monkeypox. And, you know, it's almost as if this is right on time. Earlier today, I received actually two phone calls from two different physicians, practicing physicians, both actually on the same page, saying, you know, just hold on. I mean, hold on. If this is monkeypox in the traditional sense, well, we don't know that. We don't know what's really going on. Okay, monkeypox is like everywhere now in terms of the news. But it's the currency of fear that the globalists are trading on. It's the, they've got to get you afraid enough for self-lockdown, self-quarantine, or lockdown, or accepting the lockdowns. That's the goal here, because they got nothing left. The objective here is to take down, of course, the monetary system of the United States, and really of the world, and replace it with a digital currency attached to digital passports. Let's not lose sight of that. As Davos people, the Davos group meets this week, began this morning. While you were sleeping, okay, if you're watching this in North America. And that, of course, should be the biggest news. And what do I call Davos? What do I call Davos? A target-rich environment, in my personal opinion. And I'm not, you know what, I'm not ashamed to say that. These people think they're planning the world for us, and it's a bunch of crap. These people don't speak for me. They don't speak for you, or shouldn't speak for you. And if you want to give over your liberties, freedoms, and sovereignties that easily, okay, fine. Then have at it, because their objective is to kill you. Their objective is to enslave you. Their objective is to make sure you eat bugs while they eat filet. I mean, you know, look, it's the same story, different broadcast, right? Everywhere you turn. But I want to caution people on this outbreak of monkeypox, because we don't really know what this is. Could it be, and I'm going to just toss this out there, could this be, again, this is based on a couple of conversations with, two conversations, to be specific, with two different physicians throughout the day. Could it be traditional monkeypox? Yeah, it could be. Could it be a latent herpatic type virus activated by the injecticide? That could be. Could it be, again, this is another question here, could this be? By the way, number two there, that would provide interesting and successful cover, I believe, for the shots. Or are we seeing a tweaked virus? We know on November of last year, November 21st, I believe it was, there were tabletop exercises last November 21st. November of 2021, tabletop exercises about a pandemic in a fictitious country. Brandon House covered this yesterday with Karen Kingston. And the tabletop exercise called for a version of monkeypox to be problematic beginning on the pandemic starting on May 15th of 2022. I mean, how dead on are they, right? They're not even trying to hide this anymore, and they're laughing at us. So there's that. But could it be, and if it's number one, option one I stated, could it be where the injecticide, the vaccines, right? The shots in the arm that were being pushed upon everyone has weakened the immune system so much where you've got this allowance for any kind of virus, including and especially in this case, monkeypox, which again is not. I'm just saying, okay, it's a type of smallpox, herpes, if you think of like a herpes kind of disease. So anyway, or could it be, again, option two would be cover as the HIV infrastructure in the injecticide is introduced into the experimental group of vaccine recipients. Could it be an outgrowth of that? Or could it be activated by something totally unseen? Maybe using 5G. Okay, I've heard people talking about that. I don't know. I want to be very, very careful on this before I start sounding any alarms. All I know is this. The objective here by the people who are running the Biden regime and the party of Davos and the globalists, the objective here is to lock you down, is to take away everything you got, is to take away your options, take away. And that's something that we have to really consider. Okay. We have to understand what they're trying to do and what they're trying to do and what they are doing right now is scaring the general public. Oh my gosh, here comes something else. Here comes monkeypox. Now, we know that they were experimenting NIAID, specifically Fauci's group. And this has been proven. They have been experimenting with things like monkeypox, gain of function with monkeypox, and other such viruses. Viruses. I'll just put it there. So regardless of what the it is, they're coming after all of us. Now, some people will make this purely political and say, well, it's because of the 2022 midterms and they want to make sure that they retain power. Okay, I'm sure that's part of it. But let's think through this. If they're rolling the dice, I mean, if they're going for all the marbles here, it's a lot bigger than that. And I think I would urge people to think bigger. Let's not react. Let's be as proactive as we can without reacting to something that we don't know exactly right now what's going on. I just want to throw caution out there. All right. I'm not saying it's not going to be a problem. I believe whatever it is, whatever the it might be, is going to be yet another catalyst toward this consolidation of power into this globalist government. And of course we talked about the WHO, what they're doing right now as well with respect to this international treaty and how some state and even some city mayors, state governors are actually dealing with the WHO directly, which is really, in my mind, treasonous. So, look, there's a lot of stuff going on. If this were what would I know best? If this were a crime scene, okay, you've got evidence scattered everywhere over a large area, and you've got multiple crime scenes. And at the time you're surveying the crime scene, you also have multiple crimes going on still. So we need to be vigilant, more vigilant, because right now we don't know. And I just would really I would really urge everyone to understand that we don't know. And it's bad to be making decisions when we don't know. But isn't it interesting as well that parts of the WHO treaty and such allow for that to happen, to make decisions based on information that hasn't been vetted, verified, or otherwise. Hey, we don't really know, but let's just lock everything down because, well, we'll err on the side of caution. on this self-created or this globalist created problem. This, by the way, was said to originate, at least it's interesting because the first lockdowns right now are from Belgium for monkeypox. And let's see here. There have been, if you understand too, the herpes aspect of AIDS, if you understand AIDS, and then the HIV separate from AIDS, and the HIV structure that, again, Fauci, this is Fauci's baby. HIV and AIDS, this is Fauci's baby. In the Kaposi's sarcoma that is indicative of AIDS and how this could be this herpes-like virus of smallpox or monkeypox mimics the Kaposi's sarcoma, the open lesions in AIDS patients. Well, where did that come from? People will say, well, it's from the HIV virus. Is it really? Is it? Or could there be another explanation, which I defer to RFK Jr.'s book, The Real Dr. Fauci, gets into that heavily. And you've got to look, you've got to do your own research on this, because no one, and I've been urged to ring the alarm bells. I'm not ringing any alarm bells yet. I'm telling you right now, there is something going on. But let's identify with accuracy what's going on before we head down the path. Well, oh my gosh, they've released this mutant kind of virus on us. I have to take the side of err on the side of caution, surveillance as opposed to action at this point, but let's be proactive and make sure your system, immune system, is up to snuff. But one thing, you know, again, the same people are behind all of this. The Bill Gates, the Gavi Institute, you know, Bill Gates, baby, the Klaus Schwabs of the world. And again, I point to Davos and say, you know, why, seriously, hey, they're all there. I won't go any further than that. But, you know, people will say too, and this is kind of the essence of this segment, people will say, well, wait a second, we really can't, we've got problems that we haven't solved yet. Go back to 2016, go back to the time, and let's do this. Let's go back to the time when Obama was in office. And Donald Trump announces candidacy. And of course, everyone thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. We really can't go beyond that. And there are other points in history that we shouldn't go beyond. But this I would say, is the most recent period. Well, what happened? There were two things that happened. And you'll remember this. The Russiagate lie that was perpetuated. Now, I want to say something about this because, again, we find ourselves today on May 23rd, 2022, with a world of problems that haven't been solved. We know about them, but has anyone solved them? No. You've got investigation, disclosure after disclosure, investigation after investigation. Has anything been done? No. Well, there is something that's going on right now, and I want to direct your attention to this. There is a trial taking place right now. And so what, right? Big deal. Well, yesterday, Kash Patel, who I like a lot because he is a guy that lived as a prosecutor, as a public defender, was in the federal court system, knows what's going on, of course. And he's a well-known figure in the background of what's known as Spygate. Now, he looks at things, and I have to admit this, I know Conservative Treehouse looks at this as well, looks at Kash Patel as kind of like having rose-colored glasses. The lie that was perpetuated by the Clinton camp, by specifically the Hillary Clinton campaign, and with the approval, the acknowledgement and the approval of Hillary Clinton herself, is taking place right now. So the question is this. Here we are, 6 years later. And finally, now there is a trial. So should we be paying attention to this, or do you want to call this distraction? I think we need to be paying attention to this only because it has absolutely positively verified the fact that the Clinton regime, the camp, the globalists behind Clinton, the media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, all of these people behind Clinton and involved even in the events that we're looking at right now. So the very suspects involved in the stuff taking place right now were involved back in 2016, at least the majority of them. Okay. So let's go back. Well, let's put today on hold for a second until later in the show. And let's go back and look at what happened in 2016. Well, what happened in 2016 was a lie was perpetuated. There was an attempt to take down Donald Trump as a candidate and then as a president. You know this, right? We've talked about this. You and I, we've talked about this. But now there is a trial taking place. The Sussman trial, that's what it's known as. To give you kind of a primer on where it's at, where it was, who's involved, I found two videos, part one and part two. Kash Patel. Now, I watch him behind the paywall in his interviews with Epoch Times. Okay, of course, I cannot bring that to you, but there he's very, very specific. But I think, here's something you ought to know. The judge in this trial, one of the key figures in perpetuating the lie, Sussman. The judge in that Sussman trial has a conflict of interest. His wife, who is an attorney, is representing Lisa Page from Spygate. Now, the litmus test, let me see if I can find this here. The litmus test, in Kash Patel's view, and I have to agree, was, in fact, it was one of the witnesses for the defense, asked to be put on the stand early and out of order because he was going to be taking a soiree, a 10-day vacation in Spain. Well, that's not done. You don't break protocol in a federal trial of this, especially of this magnitude. And really, that was a litmus test to see how, if that judge would follow the rules and actually be fair, and we might have a chance at justice. Well, guess what? That witness was put on the stand out of order. So the prosecution had to break their stride in the case to allow for this, so this meathead could go vacation in Spain for 10 days. So that right there took me on. That I agree with Patel on this. That should never happen. That should not happen, because in a federal trial, and again, I've been involved in trials for my entire adult life in terms of my profession as an investigator, both federal and state, civil and criminal. So this is something that's not done, because when both sides get ready, when the prosecution gets ready and both sides are ready for the trial, you, as Kash Patel says, you rack and stack the witnesses. You make sure that the witnesses are available and will be available, barring anything, severe, like health or, somebody having a heart attack or something like that. You make sure that the witnesses are ready and available to testify, period. You got plans? Change them. You don't come at the last minute and say, hey, prosecution, I know that you're involved in laying out the case, but the witness that we're going to call for Hillary Clinton, wants to go to Spain and is scheduled to go to Spain on Monday. So can you take that person out of order? Do you mind, Judge? Do you mind? That's not done. That's frowned upon, actually. At least it used to be, but not in this case. So here's what anyway, getting back to Kash Patel. He appeared on Sunday morning yesterday. Now, he lays this out really great. And I want you to pay attention to this because at the epicenter of everything we're seeing today are these very same people from the intelligence community, from the political arena, the political venue, and even from, and especially from, the very people right now in the Biden regime. They haven't gone away. They're still there. So well, pay attention to these two videos. Kash Patel lays this out. And by the way, one of the interesting documents that did come out about this was a statement by the FBI agent, by an FBI agent for the prosecution, who said anyone who, the person behind, or the person who wrote the white paper that launched the Russia investigation, that person who wrote that had to have some sort of mental disability. Oh, you didn't hear about that? I didn't think you would, because I don't think the media covered that. And the fact that the FBI said we disproved Russiagate in a day. And yet here we are. So watch part one. And I may comment on segments between this. So go ahead and let's play part one. This is from Sunday, yesterday, Maria Bartiromo and Kash Patel. Gives a good outline. Here it is.
Being charged with lying to the FBI. When he told then FBI General Counsel James Baker he had dirt on Trump but was giving it to the FBI as a concerned citizen, not on behalf of any one client, such as Hillary Clinton. Joining me right now is former Department of Defense Chief of Staff. He is former federal prosecutor and the man who worked with Devin Nunes to blow open this case and prove Hillary Clinton and her team orchestrated and paid to get made up dirt on her opponent, Donald Trump, in 2016, and then got federal agencies such as the FBI and the media to run with it before the 2016 presidential campaign and election. Kash Patel is back with us. He is the author of the new children's book, The Plot Against the King, explaining all of this for children as well. Kash, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks very much for being here. Congrats on the book. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, give us your sense of what you learned, what we learned in that trial room in D.C. last week.
Thanks so much for having me, Maria. And the best way to do this is to run through John Durham's prosecutions. Let's talk about the three star witnesses, Robbie Mook, Mark Elias, and the FBI's James Baker. So what did we do? What did we learn? So James Baker, the FBI general counsel, whom Michael Sussman has been charged to lying to about whether or not he was representing anyone when he was shoveling the dirt, testified under oath that he is, well, quote, 100% confident that Michael Sussman did not say he was there for a client, thus gutting his defense. Critical testimony from the witness himself. And if that wasn't enough, remember, Maria, John Durham has the interrogation transcripts from my deposition of Michael Sussman 4 years ago when I was running the Russiagate investigation, where I asked him under oath, did you go to the FBI for a client? And he said yes. So it's not just a witness case, it's a paper case. And then you have Michael Sussman's own text message on the evening before he went to see James Baker, a text message from Sussman to Baker, where he himself explicitly says, I'm coming to you as a patriot, as a good Samaritan. And let's move on to the testimony of now Mark Elias, his law partner at Perkins Coie, who funneled all the money from the Hillary Clinton campaign to Fusion GPS and the Alpha Bank server nonsense. He comes in and guts Sussman's defense. He says, we were working together, and of course, the Hillary Clinton campaign was our client. And then there's the documentation, the emails, and the billing that shows that Michael Sussman was billing the Hillary Clinton campaign for all the work related to Alpha Bank. And if that wasn't enough, you have the FBI's tech expert come in. I think his name was Hellman. Come in and say, the FBI knew one day after we received this information about Alpha Bank and the purported connection to Trump Tower that it was complete garbage. That is some pretty powerful testimony and documents from John Durham.
Well, I want to talk about the Scott Hellman, the FBI cyber analyst, statement at the trial, because what Scott Hellman, and he is the FBI cyber analyst, testified was just, as you just said, he knew right away that the data did not suggest any covert communications between Trump and Russia. He added that he wondered if the person who put together the data was suffering from a mental disability. So talk about the FBI for a moment, because we know that there are two parts to this. On the one hand, it's the Alpha Bank nonsense.
Okay,
that
just
there was
pause that
the
for
communication.
A second. Do you see the magnitude of what's happening here? And you can just leave that up there for just a second here, because I don't want to drone on too long. Folks, I want to ask you guys, I want to ask the listeners and viewers of this program a question. If you would like me to drill down on this, because this is, if you haven't been following what's going on, this is kind of like grabbing a novel and starting at the middle. I certainly can do programs on what is taking place on this. But the ultimate question here is, will anyone see justice? And I believe there will be justice, but it's so delayed and heretofore denied that I'm not sure it's going to mean much. But the fact that you had an FBI agent come out and question the mental stability or mental capability of the person behind, ultimately behind this Russiagate, the documentation, is that's a big deal. So, again, the question is, will this lead to any kind of definitive justice? Remember, I don't believe that we have a justice system anymore. We have a legal system. Go ahead and continue with this.
Between Trump and the Kremlin, between this via this Alpha Bank server. But on the other hand, it's also the Igor Danchenko and the Steele dossier. So we know that in January 2017, the FBI interviewed Danchenko. He told them the Steele dossier was garbage. We made it up. We were having beers, joking around with friends. The Alpha Bank, he knew in September 2016. So you got the Danchenko meeting with the FBI in January 17, just as Trump was taking office. And right before the election, September 2016, the FBI says, this can't be true. So talk about the FBI's culpability here, because we've been focused on the Clinton campaign, but the FBI wasn't fooled into doing an investigation of Trump, was it?
No, and that's why we've called them corrupt cops. Look, me as a former federal prosecutor, a guy who worked on FISAs, let's remind our audience of the timeline. This is the same time in the end of 2016 when the corrupt Clintons bring their dirty information to corrupt FBI agents who lie to a federal judge about the Steele dossier, about the Alpha Bank server nonsense, to illegally surveil their political opponent. And now you have the FBI agent who did the technical analysis, shredding the likes of Andy McCabe, Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page, the corrupt FBI trio that hatched this entire conspiracy on behalf of the Clinton campaign because they didn't like Donald Trump. And that's not my words, that's their words that we've seen publicly. So this FBI agent is taking on the FBI's former leadership to say, you know, there are still good cops here. We knew this information. We did the work on the ground level, but it looks like the political leadership of the FBI politicized national security and put their personal interest above what the law requires. And that's why the FBI's confidence has been shattered in the public.
Yeah, but I want to know what this means in terms of testimony and where this is going. Will John Durham call witnesses from the FBI? Let's take a short break. And I know that you think this trial is over this upcoming week. I want to ask you how this all ends and what's next with the Durham investigation.
What a cliffhanger, right
with
there.
Lying to the FBI.
Hang on a second here. I want to play part two, because part two is where Kash Patel wraps this all up. Now, the reason I'm having this played or playing this is because much of what he said behind paywalls, he's saying here. Now, there's greater depth and detail, of course, but they brought out a lot of stuff here. And the reason I'm addressing this now, out of not talking about this for a long time, is because the very same people who were involved in that conspiracy, and yes, there is a conspiracy, a criminal, are the very same people who are involved in monkeypox, in the Davos group, in the Clinton, and with the Clintons, and with the Obamas, and infested in the Biden regime, and with Gates on the West Coast. I'm telling you, these are the same people, just coming back out and doing different things. So could this very well lead to something? I don't know. But this will identify Hillary Clinton as the primary target of the investigation. She knew it was all BS. She signed off and pushed it to the media and also pushed it to Sussman. Will Sussman and others throw Hillary under the bus? That's the question. And even if they do, what will come of that? I don't know. Let's go to part two, and then we're going to continue. Go ahead. Part two.
From the spring, early spring, late winter of 2016, Obama, the Biden administration, they're all briefed on this. And then you fast forward, it's Peter Strzok, one of the lovebirds, who, by the way, the judge in the Sussman case, his wife is the lawyer for one of the lovebirds.
Wait a second. Are you saying the wife of the judge presiding, his wife is representing either Peter Strzok or Lisa Page, the lovebirds?
One, as I understand it, one of the, it's Lisa Page, right? And then, and don't forget, there's also a juror. One of the jurors' kids was out, I think, on a row team or just rowing with one of Sussman's kids. So it's quite amazing the stuff that's going on here.
That was former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, on Mornings with Maria over
I
on
find
Fox
that
Business.
Really, I find that really difficult to comprehend, given the fact that the trial is taking place in D.C. You know that 98% of the people there are liberal communist people. But in a trial, just very quickly, in a trial, whether it's a federal trial, and John Moore will tell you about this too. I think in federal trials, you're allowed to have three preemptive strikes on jurors when they do the jury selection. So they pull a whole bunch of people. They bring them all into the courthouse, and they take one group at a time, and they bring them in. And you can strike a juror if you're the prosecution for cause, conflicts of interest, like was just stated there, or preemptively without, you don't have to have a real reason. So I think you're allowed three without a reason, and then for cause as they progress. To have a juror, to discover that one of the jurors' children is palling around with Sussman's offspring? Are you kidding me? And we're looking for justice, and we think we're going to be able to litigate our way out of this crap? And again, remember, the very same people they're talking about right now that were active in 2016 are the very same people who are active in monkeypox, the intelligence community, the lockdowns, the policy decisions at Davos and the WHO. This is why this all connects. This is why when you don't clean up a friggin' mess from 2016, this is what we get. We get a bigger mess in 2022. But don't worry, you know, some white knight on a horse is going to save us. I don't think so. But let's give it a listen nonetheless. Go ahead and continue.
On Friday with me, revealing that the wife of the judge presiding over the Sussman trial represents former FBI attorney Lisa Page. We're back with Kash Patel. Kash, do you have an issue with this, the fact that the wife of the judge is now representing Lisa Page? Is she going to be a witness? Is she, you know, I mean, she and Peter Strzok allegedly having an affair while also trying to take down Trump with this story?
Yeah, look, as a former public defender and federal prosecutor, I can see why there's a problem with this from the public. But I have to remind the audience, John Durham filed multiple notices of potential conflicts of interest throughout the Sussman and Danchenko case based on other reasons. He is a federal prosecutor. If he felt there was an actual conflict of interest, he would have filed that notice in front of this court. And the one thing that I learned between being a public defender and prosecutor is that there's two ways to tick off a judge: reversing them on appeal and filing a motion to have them recused for basically saying you're too conflicted. What a judge prides himself in is the ability to be impartial. So I can see why this is a public issue, and it's an issue for me. But the fact that John Durham chose not to do so tells me that he is proceeding methodically on his prosecution, and Lisa Page can be a separate, unrelated target, and she's not listed as a witness in this case. Neither is Peter Strzok, which is also telling to me, which means that they are likely cooperating, and therefore there's unlikely to be a conflict that the judge cannot set aside.
I understand. Okay, so they may be cooperating. I just want to make sure that we're clear in terms of Scott Hellman. This is the FBI cyber analyst, and what he said. He said right after reviewing the data that was brought to him from James Baker, there was not enough data there to make the conclusion that there was any communication or the secret communication between the Trump Organization and Russia. This was in September of 2016. So the FBI knew in September of 2016, and yet how many FISA warrants did they get to spy on the Trump campaign? I've spoken with Carter Page a number of times. He was spied on for a year by the FBI. No charges were ever brought down. What is the culpability for that?
Yeah, four FISA warrants starting at the end of September 2016. And I couple the issue is sort of metastasized by the Clinton campaign. And Robbie Mook testified to this in court, the former Clinton campaign manager, that Hillary Clinton herself knew it, authorized it, and they leaked that false information to the media to try to gin up attention against Donald Trump. So they were working it in the media, and they were working in the FBI pursuant to Hellman's testimony, and those two forces combined with the Steele dossier to launch a dirty, a unlawful FISA warrant. And that's some of the most damning testimony from this week. And it's got to go, as I've said before, all roads lead to Andy McCabe, the deputy director, and the Lovebirds in their office concocting an insurance plan in August of 2015. And I think John Durham knows what that insurance plan is. I know we figured it out during Russiagate, and we've tried to educate the American public on it, but it remains classified partly.
And we have those text messages back and forth where Lisa Page says to Peter Strzok, Trump is not going to win, right? And Peter Strzok comes back and says, no, we'll stop it. We have the insurance policy.
That's absolutely right. And I remind the audience, that's in August of 2016 when they were digesting the Steele dossier, when they were running with the Alpha Bank server nonsense, and when they were getting ready to go to the FISA court. This trio who led this, the biggest criminal conspiracy in U.S. history, I believe is in the crosshairs of John Durham. And that's what's coming next after the Danchenko indictment. He has their own words putting them on blast, and the FBI's corruption, along with the testimony from this agent and James Baker and Robbie Mook, shows that not only was the Steele dossier line of effort totally fraudulent, but so is the Alpha Bank server effort. And Hillary Clinton knew about it, and she authorized it and spent tens of millions of dollars pushing it to the FBI, the DOJ, and the media, and corrupting the world and putting on the biggest disinformation campaign in U.S. history.
And you can put a period right there. That's but the complete videos will be available at HagmanReport.com in the program description box. I would urge you to take a look at those, okay, because and watch them more than once to understand the magnitude of what happened and the magnitude of what is happening now. And again, you look at this and say, well, it really doesn't make much difference. Justice delayed is justice denied. I agree. It doesn't make any difference because no one's going to go to jail. I kind of agree. There will be people that will be going to jail. You might also say, well, it doesn't really make any difference because their plan worked anyway because President Trump is not President Trump anymore, technically. Okay? Obviously. So why are you even talking about this? Because we have, again, the same group of individuals. Think about this. Andy McCabe, the guy, the assistant deputy director of the FBI, then FBI director, at least temporarily. You have James Comey. You've got others working in concert. And I'm talking about the upper level now. You've got John Brennan. And remember Brennan's role with Obama. Remember Obama's role, or consider Obama's role now, between Davos and what's currently taking place. Okay, so all of these people have had their hands dirty, having gotten away with it so far. They still have they're still mucking around in the mud. Their hands are still dirty, or bloody, whichever, or both actually. So that's why this is important to understand. But the media, hey, if the media doesn't cover it, does it exist? No, apparently not, right? President Trump, Russia. And we see this extending too into Ukraine. Understand how this is connected to what's taking place in Ukraine. Isn't it interesting that after the Maidan protest and revolt back in 2012, was it? Okay, I could be wrong on the date. In Ukraine, and all of the BS that took place between Hunter Biden and the Ukrainian energy companies, how this is all being molded And consider Ukraine being the breadbasket, so to speak, of Europe, and even to some extent here in the United States. Consider how all of these working parts are now moving in concert with one another. This is really important to understand, because again, we don't have to go around looking for new crimes. They're coming to us, but the purveyors, the suspects, the participants in the conspiracies, plural, they're all the same people, or extensions of the same people, or associates or partners. We have the list. The question is, what are we going to do about it? John Moore is with me here. Before I get to John, I wanted to thank our fine folks at Lightstream. You know, as we see interest rates going up, my goodness, have you seen them going up? They're going up, I'm telling you. One thing I don't like to do, I don't like to pay high interest rates on my credit cards. I don't like to do that. I've got a couple of credit cards that, you know, if I can't pay off, I want to roll them into a low interest rate card so I can pay it off quickly and then use the discretionary income elsewhere. That's what Lightstream offers you. I want to just tell you, lightstream.com/Hagman. That's the place to go. Again, great company, great people there. And if you're tired of paying off high interest rates on your credit card debt, check out lightstream.com/Hagman. Their credit card consolidation loan can help you pay off those credit cards fast and keep more money in your pocket in the process. That's what they're all about. Loans range from $5,000 to $100,000. You can roll your cards into one low payment at a fixed rate as low as 5.73% APR with AutoPay and excellent credit. It's a lot lower than most credit cards, of course. And guess what? Lightstream.com/Hagman. There, go there for an even deeper discount, and a better, more special, you like that, deal. Here's what you need to do. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. Go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. We still have to take care of business, but let's take care of business. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.738% APR to 19.99% APR and includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You're going to thank me for this. You're going to be glad you did. I'm telling you right now, I know a lot of people have been very well served by lightstream.com/Hagman. Make sure you get the /Hagman, and that's two N's on Hagman. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. Okay, thank you, Lightstream, for what you do. All right, John Moore, thelibertyman.com, the guy that's got his fingers on the pulse of many things going on right now, talking to a lot of people. I know this for a fact. I've talked to people who've talked to him, and then I talk to him every Monday, and I'm glad he's with me right now. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Go to his website. Bookmark his website, thelibertyman.com. Link in the program description box at hagreport.com. There we go. John, how you doing?
I'm fine, Doug. Good to be with you, as always.
Yeah.
Those are some interesting clips regarding the Russiagate and the Russian hoax, the Russian collusion, all of which was a well-funded fantasy by none other than Hillary Clinton. A lot of speculation on what's going to happen. The truth about what's going on, of course, and what will happen is with John Durham, the special prosecutor.
Yep.
All of us are in the coffee shop across the street from John Durham's office, which we don't have access to. We have access to Mr. Patel, who has some interesting, fascinating evidence, and others who have interesting, fascinating evidence. We don't have access to John Durham's office and John Durham's staff and what's really going on. Will there be indictments or will there not? I believe there will.
I believe so, too. But,
oh, yes.
But I'm concerned. You know, here we are 6 years plus after this took place. Will it make a difference if anyone's indicted?
Oh, it will make a difference, especially if it happens before the first Tuesday in November. That's critical. This next election is absolutely critical for the future of our country, the future of our republic.
I agree.
So we got, June, July, August, September, October. We got 5 months.
Yeah.
5 months.
Yeah.
If it happens after the first Tuesday in November, it'll still be important, but it won't be important to be changing the election is what needs to happen.
Well, see, so okay, and John, the reason I kind of focused on this Sussman deal, the Sussman trial, is because you've got all the players, and just briefly, and then I'm going to turn it back to you. Yeah, all the players who are involved in Russiagate, involved in the attempted takedown of President Trump as a candidate and as a president, and even today, they're all the same people who are involved in the Davos stuff and the WHO, our intelligence community, the high player, the players there. The Clintons, you could extend that into Zuckerberg too and his people when you start connecting dots, money, follow the money trail. So the way I look at this, and again, I'm going to turn this right back to you, is like just like they had two parallel paths to tank President Trump as a candidate and as a president, there are two parallel paths right now taking place. And one is trying to outrace the other. Can we bring down some globalists, some treasonous communists here in the United States, while the other side is working toward, hey, can we lock the country down and make them scared and think about, well, monkeypox and other things. So I think there's two competing, obviously, interests here, in my mind anyway, as I look at this, but the players are all the same. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
I don't necessarily think they're competing so much as moving forward with their own agendas to cause harm to our republic. They'll be competing for attention, granted, but that's just kind of a side issue.
Okay. Yeah.
Doug, this next election, if it's free and fair in enough states, it doesn't have to be all states. If it's free and fair in enough states, conservative Republicans will take control of the House of Representatives, of the Senate, which will paralyze bad things coming out of Joe Biden. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Making the Biden administration basically a non-entity because, well, first of all spending comes out of the House. All spending bills originate out of the House of Representatives. If you can cut off the money, you can very effectively cut off a lot of what Joe Biden wants to accomplish. And that's a really good thing. And conservative Republicans, not rhinos, but true conservative patriotic Republicans controlling the spending in Congress would effectively cut off the money supply and new money going into Joe Biden's schemes that he wants to pull off. That by itself would accomplish a lot. Having control of a veto-proof majority in the Senate would be really good also. But Doug, I know we have limited time, and there's something I want to segue into that came up last Wednesday, if I may.
Go for it. It's all yours.
Carl. Okay.
It's all yours.
All right. Well, regular listeners to my show know Jeff Nyquist, J.R. Nyquist. He's been a regular guest now for years. I've known Jeff for about 18 years. He began a quest 36 years ago to understand the Communist International Conspiracy, and he's authored 6 books on it. He's sat across the interview table from about 8 or 10 high-level KGB defectors. He has private sources in both Communist China and Russia. And with that as a foundation to work from, Doug, this past Wednesday on my show, Jeff Nyquist told us the following, that the People's Liberation Army Navy in China has loaded up more than 900 cargo ships with everything they need to invade the United States, and that they will invade between now and November. Now, I was on with Mike Adams the following day this past Thursday, and I told Mike this, and Mike picked up the ball and ran with it. I'm not sure he had much sleep for the next 48 to 72 hours, but he's got back with Nyquist. He did a more in-depth interview with Jeff, and he's got other sources that are basically backing up Nyquist sources. It's pretty alarming, to say the least, and very disturbing to hear that Communist China is finally ready to do what they've been promising to do for decades, quite frankly, which is invade, take over, colonize the United States, and end up with the United States with no Americans. So we shall see.
Okay. I'm familiar with what you're talking about. And I believe this to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is based on a recording of generals, Chinese military generals, from a meeting that took place earlier this year. And this recording was not specific. Again, please correct me, because the transcript, it was heavy with the dialectics. Excuse me for a second. Come here, honey. Come here. I want everyone to... sorry, John. This is my granddaughter, Maya, who...
Hi, Maya.
She was sick for a while. She's 100% healthy because of your prayers. Say hello to everyone out there. All right. Love you, hon. Good to see you.
What a sweet little girl. Okay.
She is. All right. But was this not...
Well, my understanding is that Nyquist source is a separate source from the transcript of the recording you're talking about, but maybe not. Regardless, I'm looking into it myself. I have sources in the Pentagon. I'm sure Jeff's looking into it more, Mike Adams, to get more independent confirmation of this. Now, something that does fit, of course, is the alleged lockdown of all of these ports in China because of COVID. Well, what better excuse to shut down international shipping in these ports than to have a COVID matter allegedly be the cause, when in fact, what you're really doing is loading up with a weapons of war to invade the United States.
Hmm. Okay. Now, some
Doug, it's a work in progress.
Okay. and some say, John, that there is no outbreak, okay, that the, is in particular, Shanghai, where we're seeing all this dramatic footage, or have seen, there's no outbreak necessarily, okay? This is being done for other reasons, specifically, like you said, to paralyze the economy or the shipping process. Now, I don't know how that would work. I'm not thinking like a communist Chinese CCP, but I suspect that it would have that effect. Look at the shipping at the ships just hanging out around China, paralyzed. I mean, it's incredible. And by the way, John, why haven't we heard any more about supply the ships off our west coast and elsewhere? That hasn't been how quickly we all forget about these things.
Oh, that's a good question. The dozens of, well, hundreds of ships off the port of Los Angeles that have been sitting there, I quite frankly, I haven't seen any updates on that, and obviously you haven't either, Doug.
No, it's, again, whatever the new thing is, COVID, Ukraine, everyone have a Ukraine flag. COVID.
Everybody look this way. Everybody look that way.
Right. No. Whatever the shiny trinket might be to really kind of draw our attention, which is why I brought up the Sussman trial, because the same players in that are the same players today, nationally with the United States, not internationally, but to some extent internationally there as well. So this is what we get for not cleaning up the messes when we had the chance. But go ahead, sir.
Roger that. Now, going back to the generals talking in the transcript, one analyst says that they do talk about invading Taiwan in that transcript. Now, quite frankly, I have not reviewed it. I just found out about it about four or five hours ago, and I've been busy doing a radio show. That's my excuse. So maybe they're talking about Taiwan, maybe not. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to overtalk you. Just to be clear, this came out in a May 20th episode of Mike Adams. Mike Adams brought this up on May 20th, and I'm just looking at this right now. And this was a leaked audio recording, leaked audio that appears to have originated from a meeting of China's top war generals. Reveals elaborate plans for a land invasion in the near future, waged by the PLA, and augmented with cyber warfare. activation of CCP civilians currently embedded in corporations and governments around the world, including and especially the United States. The invasion forces would cross the Pacific. This, again, just buttressing what you said. Disguised as merchant ships, cargo ships, once they arrive within short-range rocket range, containers on the top of these ocean vessels would open and launch short-range
rockets. Well, they mentioned, let me stop you, Doug. They mentioned crossing the Pacific.
Yes, which obviously
the water between mainland China and Taiwan is not called the Pacific Ocean.
Correct. Correct.
So there is the evidence that this is not an invasion of Taiwan. It's called, Formosa Straits, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know the body of water.
Well, it's not called the ocean.
It's
75 miles, something like that?
Yes.
It's not called the ocean. I think it's called Formosa Straits. So crossing the ocean does not mean going 75 miles.
No.
You don't use that term. I mean, tourist fishing boats go that far. They're not crossing the ocean, you know. It's a day trip.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's a day trip. That's not crossing the ocean. It's a day trip.
So
I think that's all the evidence I need to convince me that generals are talking about crossing the ocean, not going from mainland China to Taiwan 75 miles away.
Right. And they obviously, folks, they would have this would be important to do. The disguise, as you pointed out, and you're heavily cited here in this article on Natural News.
Mike gave me credit. You know, I brought it to Mike's attention. He gave me credit for it. I thank him for that. Mike's a busy guy. He's one of those classic type A personalities that he's probably going 16 hours a day full speed. And so I brought it to his attention, and I'm glad that I did. And ladies and gentlemen, you're getting your heads up. Now, at my website, at thelibertyman.com, we have another translation from the Chinese Minister of Defense, the top general of the People's Liberation Army. About 20 years ago, he gave a speech meant only for the other top generals, not even meant for the common soldier, let alone the people of China or anyone else. That speech, which is translated at my website, he talks about their goals and how they're going to accomplish them. Specifically, colonizing the United States with no Americans. Specifically, hoping to develop race-specific biological weapons. Now, have they done that? I don't know. I know that was their goal. That was one of the goals, by the way, of the laboratories in Ukraine that the Russians have been attacking and hopefully blowing up or taking control of, race-specific biological weapons. So this is nothing new. The goals of the Chinese, the communist Chinese, to colonize the entire planet, not just the United States, by the way, that's been well known and well understood for decades. Now, this more recent transcript that was released by Mike Adams this past Friday, that's more evidence. And right. In fact, I do a prepper tip of the day, Doug, and my prepper tip of the day for Monday, the 23rd, was to watch Mike Adams' update of May the 20th. That's how important that is. Typically, my prepper tip has to do with more down-to-earth physical things, but this is really important. I know that I'll be looking into it deeper. I'm sure you will, Doug, once you have the time. And we all need to be doing our independent research and then making what I would call prudent preparations. I'm not saying throw the kids and some sleeping, camping gear in the minivan and head out to the National Forest. That's not preparation. That's a recipe for disaster is all that is. That's all it is.
Don't make me turn this car around. No, you're exactly right.
Right.
I don't want to make light of this. And what this scenario paints is an invasion really from the West Coast to the Rockies, That's what's discussed. Good luck with that. But, you know, hey, Newsom will cave and Biden will cave. California, I'm sure. But beyond that, I don't
know. Well, Newsom's already been compromised, just like Biden. Most likely the governors of both Oregon and Washington, they have the ability to slow down their National Guards and compromise their National Guards long enough to give the Communist Chinese a really good foothold. Chances are National Guard commanders will violate orders and defend their states anyway. But if the governors could slow them down 24, 48, 72 hours, that would be more than enough to help the Chinese develop a really rock-solid beachhead in all three states. Of course, that's what they're going to be wanting to do.
Do you think... Okay, so if... Because you've got your finger, again, you know what's going on. And you were...
I'm reaching out to... I got a busy day. I had a Republican Central Committee meeting this evening with all the elected officials and so forth. But I'll be reaching out to contacts in the Pentagon, veterans from various levels of intelligence in the various branches of the military. I'll be reaching out because these men have their own sources that I'm not privy to.
Okay.
To get as much as I can, as quickly as I can, also to warn my buddies. I just sent an email this morning to my Green Beret buddies, because these guys, they know some stuff, and they'll have many Green Beret surprises for the Communist Chinese when they come here and cause harm. So we're getting ready, Doug. I'm getting ready. My buddies are getting ready. We're loading magazines and sharpening bayonets. We're getting ready, seriously, and doing the finishing touches on whatever needs to be touched up to prepare for this. Hopefully it won't happen. I've been through one war. I don't need another war. And if it comes, I'll deal with it. If it doesn't, I pray it doesn't, and life goes on. But in light of the information we have, Doug, I believe it would be foolish to disregard it. I would encourage our listeners, our viewers, to do their own independent research. Look at what Mike Adams has come up with. Look at what Jeff Nyquist has come up with. Make your own decision and make your own preparations based on your own evaluation of that intelligence.
Do you think that this is the only... how can I put this? Would this be the only means? This sounds like a really bad sci-fi / war movie. Okay. Kind of like Red Dawn. You look at Red Dawn and you think, my gosh, that could never happen. But okay. Now think about this. How does
Red Dawn. Let's not leave that for a moment.
Okay.
I believe Red Dawn came out, was it 82 or so?
84.
Okay. I called up my Green Beret buddies, and along with my wife, we sat down in a brick-and-mortar movie theater to watch Red Dawn with several hundred patrons watching this film. And watching in person is a whole different deal. Now, just to refresh your memory, early in the film, the character named Robert, he's in their little hidey hole there with the men and women, teenage boys and girls, actually, that are resisting the Russians. Mm-hmm. And in that scene, Robert takes a hacksaw and is sawing off the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun.
Right.
Now, here's what happened in a movie theater. The Americans in a movie theater spontaneously burst out in applause.
Really?
Now, that's real Americans. That's the attitude of real Americans who were reflecting with their clapping hands what they would do if the Russians invaded. They'd be sawing off the barrels of their shotguns, getting ready to deal with Russians and Chinese or North Koreans, anybody else who wants to come to this country. That's the difference between watching a film with several hundred Americans and watching it in the comfort of your living room with your family. applause when Robert is sawing off the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun. We're just about at that point, Doug.
Well,
we're just about at that point.
And John, folks, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you listen to him every day and bookmark his website, because he's on top of things. And look, I had this story back in the 20th in this Red Dawn scenario, by the way, that he's talking about. One of the scenes in there, I just want to point out, when those girls were down in that hole there, the young girls.
Oh, the spider holes?
Yeah.
Hiding?
Yeah. The grandfather or whatever was hiding them.
Right.
And if you notice through the movie, there was this implication that they were sexually abused by the enemy, and I think a lot of people
it was more than implied. It was pretty darn direct.
Well, you know, I've spoken to a couple of people who that went over their heads. I'm saying you didn't notice.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I guess they were watching with one eye closed. I don't know. But war's hell. But you know, you make a good point. If not against a foreign adversary, do we have any moral high ground against a domestic adversary at this point? If not, I mean, right now,
we have the moral high ground, obviously, against the whole cabal that was behind going after President Clinton. Of course we did.
Okay.
And that's, at this point, it's almost a side issue. Not quite, but compared to a Chinese invasion of CONUS, continental United States, it's almost a side issue. Okay. It's an important issue. And I really hope that John Durham does issue indictments against important people. Here's what I believe is happening right now with Durham. He has enough evidence to bring men and women in at what I would call low to mid-level management who were involved in the entire Russian hoax, arrest them, get them in an interview room, and tell them the facts of life. I'll just make up, let's say, John Doe. Mr. Doe, we have enough evidence to put you in a federal penitentiary for 20 years. We also are prepared to cut you a deal where you spend 6 months for a federal misdemeanor in a not terribly bad place where there's a swimming pool and a golf course and no fence. Would you like to help us and get the deal where you have 6 months in a federal low-grade, no-fence facility with a swimming pool and a golf course, or would you like to spend 20 years in a real jail? And guess what, Doug? They start talking. And then they provide more evidence for upper-level management. I'm pretty sure, Doug, that's taking place as we speak. Very likely, on Monday, the 23rd day of May, that kind of interview, or interviews plural, are probably happening right now, Doug, based on what I've seen.
If they're not, they should be. And again, what, 5-6 years too late. John, I can hear it in your voice. I appreciate you coming on. I take it you're under the weather a tad. And
I'm actually recovering. I had a little head cold last week, but I'm gonna get the triumph out today. Quite frankly,
there you go. Great. That's what you need, right?
Yeah, I feel great. I had a last little bit of that. It's nothing, and I have to learn how to hit the mute button here, I guess.
No worries.
There we go.
Yeah.
The mute button's very important. Well, you and I have been, our combined investigative experiences is approaching a century.
Come on, man. I'm not that old. You must have 85 years on me. The combined experience.
Seriously. But that's how our system works.
Yeah.
And our system is flawed. I've seen horrendous abuses of our system. I've seen horrendous miscarriages of justice, sending men to jail for years and years for something they did not have any involvement in. on one hand. On the other, who's got a better system? You know, and I don't want to, I mean, I don't want to dwell on the positives and negatives of our system, but that's a side issue also. The point being, just a few moments ago, because you and I have been doing this professionally for so long, that's how one way our system works and works quite well is what we were just talking about in a complex matter. And the complexity of this matter is really because we got legal professionals involved in the cover-up. Men and women who do this for a living also. Men and women who know how to obfuscate and be very good at obfuscation, very good at destroying evidence, very good at concealing what they've done. So that makes Durham's, you know, he's not dealing with a bunch of uneducated drug addict, drug dealers or something like that. These are, you know, these are sane, sober legal professionals that he's going after in many cases. Which well, makes the job a lot tougher.
And I think there's a good point. Although last week he allowed one of the defense witnesses to testify out of order, which John, look, my experience is not as vast as Kash Patel's, okay, but I've never seen a defense once a federal trial starts. I've never seen the defense say, "Well, we have a witness that's going to be going to Spain for 10 days next week, so you mind if we?" Put him on the stand out of order. To me, that reeked of the judge's bias in favor of the defense, but, you know, Clinton and the company. But then, hey, you know, look, what do I know? There's a lot of things.
I don't know the details of the circumstances, but what little bit I do know tells me the defense is probably desperate to do whatever they can to help their clients. And
you take Sussman down. You're getting, I mean, Sussman,
right.
and then Perkins Coie and then Hillary, bada bing. And there it is. And, you know, how in the hell would the media stop that? Ignore that. How would they ignore that? Because Hillary signed off on that whole damn thing. And we know that. But
of course she did.
But you know what? More people know about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp and, you know, Poopgate than
Hillary's not the kind of person who would delegate anything of any consequence. That's just not who she is. That's not her management style. Her management style is to be in direct moment-to-moment control of everything important and delegate smaller things to people of possibly little consequence. That's her management style. Of course she was involved in the decisions that had to be made, especially major decisions of this historical, monumental nature, creating false evidence to be used against her opponent.
And there we have calls to John Moore for consultations, which he does. Folks, go to thelibertyman.com, and there you can get you can have consultations with John. And I highly recommend that because – well, we need to consult with professionals. John, continue wherever you want to go. We've got about 17 minutes left of the show. So go ahead.
Okay.
All yours.
All right. Sounds good.
All yours.
Well, Doug, I've been doing private consultations since 1977, 45 years. It's really helped, really a lot of fun for me to help people get the information, get the clarity, gain their laser focus. They need to make major decisions. That's what private consultations are all about. But my concern in 1977 was the International Communist Conspiracy. I'd only been out of the Army, 5? No. Well, I was actually 2 years before I went back into the Army. I went back to the Army Reserve in 1979. So I had a break in service from 1979. Regardless, my concern 45 years ago was the same concern I have now, the International Communist Conspiracy. So what's changed? Well, the communists have been very clever in carrying out their plan to get most people in the West to believe that communism has failed, that the Soviet Union collapsed of its own weight as a consequence of dealing with Ronald Reagan and related matters. That was completely false. The alleged collapse, and I say alleged because it was planned in advance. It was not a spontaneous collapse. We need to make this point about the how massive this deception is. In the period of 1989, 90, those two years, what do we have in Europe? We had Poland, we had East Germany, we had Czechoslovakia, we had Yugoslavia, we had Hungary, several other countries, Romania, that appeared, the following happened. Young people in their teens, and early 20s, went to the capitals of those countries. They jumped up and down and sang, "We want blue jeans and rock and roll and freedom." And guess what? All those countries, which had secret police, they had standing militaries, they all collapsed and became republics without a shot being fired, except Romania, where Ceausescu didn't get the memo.
Yeah, and we saw what happened to old Nicolae there. Yeah.
So we're supposed to believe that because a bunch of youngsters went to their capitals, jumped up and down saying, "We want freedom, rock and roll, and blue jeans," that those communist governments all collapsed without a shot being fired?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Really? I believe it. That's what my university taught me.
Really? Well, that's a fabrication.
Exactly.
And it's all, we've mentioned this before, we always got new listeners, Doug, so we can't leave out the new listeners. New Lies for Old, written by Anatoly Galitsyn.
Yep.
He talks about the Berlin Wall coming down, all those East European countries collapsing of their own weight without a shot being fired, becoming republics. And somebody might say, "Well, John, what's the big deal? These things happened and some guy wrote a book about them. Am I supposed to be impressed?" Well, when you see the publication date, yes, 1984, 5 years before they all took place. Who in the world is Anatoly Galitsyn? Well, he was a KGB, not agent. He was a researcher. He worked in the division called long-range planning. He was no secret spy or anything. He was just a guy who went to work every day, Monday through Friday, planning what would happen decades in the future because he defected, he escaped during the Kennedy administration. And he wrote about things that would be happening in 1989, decades into the future. That's how far in advance these people plan. And we're living right now on the 23rd day of May, 2022. We're still living the consequences of what Anatoly Galitsyn was planning in 1963.
Man,
it's happening right now. This is not fiction. This is not fantasy. It's not make-believe. This is as real as solid as concrete, Doug.
It's a culmination of plans laid long ago. We're seeing
precisely.
That. Yep.
Precisely. Wow. And you're foolish to believe otherwise. China is in the process of colonizing all of sub-Saharan Africa. My friend, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, he was in Africa on assignment, undercover for a year, pretending to be a tourist in sub-Saharan Africa, documenting the communist Chinese building roads, airports, water treatment, sewage treatment, hospitals, everything they need to colonize sub-Saharan Africa once again with no Africans. That's their plan. And they built a highway that goes all the way from Africa to China. It's now open only to Chinese traffic. Nobody else is allowed on this highway. Nobody is allowed on this highway except Chinese. They're preparing to build a causeway between the Horn of Africa and the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, cutting off about a week's travel to get back and forth. Now, what a causeway that would be. But they, you know, the Chinese, when they will put the money into it and the engineering, of course they can do that.
And of course domestically here, look at the infiltration in government, in the private sector, by the Communist Chinese Party, and you know, with the exception of
other
you,
countries, don't let foreign nationals, no matter who they are,
right,
buy their real estate. They simply don't do it, Doug.
Yet we in here we are, and of course you got members of Congress Swalwell, Fang Fang, Bang Bang. I mean, it strains credulity.
Well, I don't have hold anything against a man having a Chinese girlfriend.
But when you're
on the House Intelligence Committee,
yeah,
having a Chinese national as your girlfriend, excuse me, how did that get past the security clearance people? When I was in Special Forces, I held a security clearance. If I'd had a Chinese national girlfriend, they would have pulled my clearance in a heartbeat. I would have been done.
That's right.
As a 21-year-old intelligence analyst at a very low level, they wouldn't allow me to hold a classified security clearance.
Hey, look, I remember being an asset for the DOJ and the FBI in the 90s. Believe me, you don't, that's more than frowned upon. I'll tell you that, okay? So you're exactly right. And at that level, come on, man. Come on, man. You know the thing.
Yeah, come on, man. Right. Yeah, let's go, Brandon.
Yeah.
You know, Doug, it's important to maintain a sense of humor. You find out in combat real quick, the guy in combat who does not have a sense of humor, he'll get himself hurt and everybody around him. You got to maintain a sense of humor. It's a matter of staying alive, quite frankly. So please, ladies and gentlemen, maintain your sense of humor. Do your homework. And I hope you'll come to the correct conclusion that what we're talking about is real, not make-believe. Is this invasion going to happen between now and November? I hope not. We're going to be looking very carefully for information to either support it as being real or dismiss it as being a fantasy. I hope it goes the route of being a fantasy. I can't take that chance. So I'm making my preparations. I don't have a whole lot to do. I think I need to polish some boots, maybe sharpen a bayonet here or there. But whatever you got to do, do it.
Can you imagine, though, and think about that for a moment, at a time, I mean, what perfect timing would that be? When I say perfect, of course, their timing it would be perfect, especially with how soft the United States is, with what they've done to our military, with what they've done to our businesses, with what they've done to the people through a number of different measures. But by the way, there is a page by... just real quick here, where'd it go? There it is. Whistleblower Jennifer Zeng, where you can read the entire transcript of what John's talking about. But go to thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. And of course, the translation, the entire report's there at thelibertyman.com. Link in the program description box, of course. But thelibertyman.com, it's where to go. Go ahead, John, finish this up. We got about 7 minutes. Whatever you think we need to do.
Well, sir. I always want to bring us back to what's so very important, so very foundational, the fact that ultimately this is a spiritual war. At the very, very top, the people behind us, they're evil in a pair of shoes. It doesn't matter if it's the prime minister of China or Hillary Clinton. They're just evil in a pair of shoes. And they have goals that have nothing to do with power or money. They have goals that are spiritual in nature and satanic in nature. And we, on the other hand, we Christian patriots, we need to pray without ceasing. We need to open that Bible and read those pages that need to be read to help us with what get the knowledge and the spiritual foundation that we need to be strong in the face of what's coming. Without a strong spiritual foundation, I don't care how smart you are, how tough you are, how powerful your gun is. Without that strong spiritual foundation, you're lost in what's coming. You're absolutely lost. And I can't emphasize that too much.
That's
yeah,
true.
The beans and the bullets and all the water and all that. Of course, that's important. That's a given. But in the absence of a strong spiritual foundation, which should be part of your life every day, it's meaningless. And it's not going to help you accomplish your goal. So, without that spiritual foundation.
Amen.
You want to accomplish your goal? You want to accomplish your goal? Work on your spiritual foundation and do it diligently. Do it with a team. You need a team of men and women who are also believers. Of course you do. And if you don't have a team, work on putting together one. It's not too late. Maybe relatives, maybe neighbors, maybe people you go to church with, whatever it might be. Your team may be 3 or 4, maybe 8 or 10. It doesn't matter. I know a number of teams I'll be reaching out to check with them and see how they're doing. I'll be doing that all this week. It's difficult to catch up with these guys, just scheduling. But I'll be doing it. You know, men and women here in Missouri and Arkansas, both different teams. And I know they're training. They train on a regular basis. I know they got what they need, but I'll be checking in with them anyway just to be sure they're squared away and see if they need anything, anything I can help with. So everybody needs to be doing this on their own. Work on a spiritual foundation. Check, work with their team. If you don't have a team, put a team together. Do an inventory of what you've got so you know what you need. If you don't have an inventory of what you have, you don't know what you need. Time's a wasting.
Yep.
I hope we've got 6 months. I do. But whatever months we've had, they'll pass very quickly. In 4 weeks, Doug, this year will be half over.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, isn't it?
You know, and it's been a strange... The swimming pool's open up here in 4 days, and I got my furnace running full blast. It's been a very strange spring, you know?
Yeah.
So,
we went from 80 to 50, I think, in about 12 hours. So,
yeah. It's about the same thing here.
Yeah.
But, ladies and gentlemen, do your homework, reach your own conclusions. And hopefully you'll reach the same conclusion that Doug and I have, is that these threats are clear and present danger. We can't count on the U.S. military to save us. Quite frankly, I hope they can and they do, but I don't have 100% faith in that, given what's been happening to devastate the morale, the esprit de corps, the readiness of the military. And we don't have time to go into that, but you've probably figured it out already if you've been looking into it. We can't count on the military. It's going to come down to county by county. The county sheriffs, the pastors of these churches. During the American Revolution, the pastors of the churches picked up guns, and they were militia leaders all over the 13 colonies. They did the right thing. And I not all pastors will do that, but many pastors will do that. I met some at Myrtle Beach. I was in Myrtle Beach last week. And I met a lot of great people. So once again, many pastors will step up to church. Other community leaders, farmers, ranchers, plumbers will become leaders of militia. Private militia that nobody knows about. Maybe the sheriff. Hopefully they'll coordinate with the sheriff. But otherwise, they're not going to advertise who they are. They're just going to train and get ready. And that's what needs to happen. Train and get ready. And hopefully your training won't be necessary. Hopefully the extra rice and beans you bought won't be needed. But if they are needed, that training, that rice and beans, then you got them.
And the worst that'll happen is you can eat them.
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. Or sell them, whatever. But this is a warning. Jeff Nyquist is a very serious guy who's done great research for decades. He's a known, trusted authority on these matters. Mike Adams is a very rock-solid guy who's a known, trusted journalist, just like you are and just like I am. We are no-nonsense guys who aren't given to flights of fancy. That's not who we are. We're serious men who have very serious messages to put out here, Doug. And this is no time for jokes, no time for messing around. This is the time to pay attention, do your homework, see what's coming up with Mike Adams. I'll have Nyquist on tomorrow and Wednesday both.
Oh, good.
Hopefully have some updates for us.
All right.
The Tuesday morning roundtable is always a lot of fun. Sometimes we get into a little bit of a controversy, but that makes it interesting.
Hey, if everyone's thinking alike, then only one person's thinking. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, controversy makes for good radio. But so we're tracking these things. It's not a, it's, the matter is not settled. It's not settled at all.
No. And I think you said it best. Look, this is a spiritual battle. Get right spiritually. And we're at the end of the program. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Very, very good, very sober assessment of what's taking place. John, you are right on the money on all things, I believe. And let's keep that China issue at the forefront and keep me posted. All right?
Okay, Doug.
All right, thelibertyman.com. John Moore, he's the man. All right, folks, that'll do it for me tonight, for us tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Again, thank you so much for your belief and trust in us. I'm out of here.